Welcome to the Global from Asia podcast, where the daunting process of running an international business from Hong Kong is broken down into straight-up actionable advice. And now, your host, Michael Michelini.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Global from Asia, episode 65. Hope everybody had an amazing Christmas holiday. I am still full from the massive amount of turkey I had, and it was great just spending some time with friends. So some of the survey results have come in that I've been asking on globalfromasia.com/survey. Seems to be a lot more interest in going into China about selling Chinese goods from factories to the worldwide market. So I'm going to work on getting more shows like that in the future for 2015. And my New Year's resolution for those curious is to learn Chinese on a deeper level. I've kind of been at this basic level that I say I can kind of get by with traveling and restaurants and basic communication for years, but I really need to dig deeper as I have my Chinese family and probably going to be here for the foreseeable future. So many of you know that I recently had merger of social agent app, which combined with Unchained apps here in Shenzhen. And one of the interesting side effects is one of their apps in their portfolio that is called writtenchinese.com is all about helping foreigners to learn Chinese. So today on the show, I brought Nora. She is the product manager at the company, and she's also the driving force between this Written Chinese app. She's an American who speaks really great Chinese for many years, and she's going to give us some pointers and about learning Chinese, which has helped me a lot already. So I hope for those of you interested can get on the right track, because sometimes there's conflicting advice about how to learn Chinese. So she will give us some insights. Okay, everybody, thank you for tuning in to another Global from Asia podcast. We are here in the office of Gigabud Limited with Nora. And thanks for being on the show, Nora.
Thanks for having me.
Great. And do you mind introducing yourself to everybody?
Sure. I'm from Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin, which is a small town in relatively rural Wisconsin. I've been in China since 2009. I originally came because I was just curious, I guess. I had finished my degree at the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. I studied global management. And I wasn't really impressed with the job opportunities that were available at that time. So I decided to just go ahead and try my luck at coming to China. So I came, and actually when I first landed in China, I didn't know anything about Chinese culture or Chinese language. So it's been quite a journey from there.
Awesome. Yeah, it's really cool. We got to connect. You've been here five years now?
5 years,
yeah. 5 years. Awesome. Yeah. And I feel embarrassed because your Chinese is way better than mine, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that later.
你的中文也不错. Okay. Your Chinese is also not so bad.
Well, I know. I'm listening better than speaking. But so today's show is going to be giving some of our listeners some tips and ideas of maybe different ways they can learn Chinese. Mm-hmm. I've heard so many different people give me recommendations of how to learn. I think it just depends on the person's method of learning, right? Some people learn by listening, some people learn by writing.
For sure, you definitely have to find what works for you. I myself am not a great book learner, so I had to find ways to supplement my learning because my study habits aren't necessarily so good. You know, I get highly distracted when I'm sitting down with a language book. So I've had to find various methods to kind of push Chinese into my day-to-day life while keeping my brain interested, I guess, in the language.
sure. So we'll get into that. I just want to maybe first talk about how we're working together now, mm-hmm. and maybe quickly go through Gigabud. What's Gigabud?
Sure. So Gigabud is a company based out of Hong Kong. We have a major branch here in Shenzhen, China. And it's essentially an app incubator. So it's a creative space where we create apps in various genres. We have productivity apps, which we actually market under the name Unchained Apps. So we have a website, unchainedapps.com, and several apps on the iOS and Android market under Unchained Apps. And then we have Gigabud, which is another set of apps. So we separate the language learning apps, which are under Gigabud, with our productivity and gaming apps, which are under Unchained Apps.
Yeah. And so I mentioned on the show once or twice, but I've recently joined with the social agent team about a month and a half now. And we're all excited. And so social agent is going to be in that productivity category and part of the Unchained Apps group. But yeah, it's definitely a very cool creative space. And we've had some of our listeners actually already stop by and meet Nora and everybody. So also, if you guys ever come through Hong Kong or Shenzhen, you know, and want to meet me, we can also maybe arrange it where you can
come visit by. Us.
Yeah, it's really a creative space. And as we grow, we're going to definitely have more opportunities. So maybe we can give some chances to some listeners. Don't make any promises on the show today, but we'll keep you guys, we'll keep you guys updated.
You never know.
Great. So, you know, we talked quickly about why you came to China. Mm-hmm. And I think there's lots of listeners, too, that I've talked to and over the year that are also thinking about coming here and they don't know when to start or how to start.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you tell them? What would you tell those guys maybe sitting back in their home country, hearing all the news about China and not sure where to start? What would you think?
Well, first of all, if I can do it, anyone can do it. I mean, I'm not from an international background per se. My parents haven't really traveled. You know, growing up, we didn't. It's a very exotic idea to be moving to China. And I guess for me, I just had to summon up the courage, and that was pretty much all I needed to go. I didn't come over with a lot of money. Essentially, I just looked at different cities in China, and I wanted to go somewhere that wasn't really well traveled by foreigners. I wanted to go somewhere a little more authentic. So my first year, I was in Chengdu, which is in the central China, in Sichuan, China. If you've ever had Sichuan chicken, it's from that area, Sichuan, Sichuan. And so that was a really eye-opening experience, because then here I was, I landed smack dab in the middle of China with no language skills. And so I really learned from the ground up. I've never had any formal language training. And so I've really kind of found my way through trial and error with languages. And that's what I'm trying to do with writtenchinese.com, is try to give people shortcuts, the shortcuts that I wish I would have had when I first started learning Chinese.
Yeah, I'm already, well, I mean, it's part of my work now is getting involved here, so I've had that reason too. But I've actually started improving my Chinese too. So, you know, I've also never really spent so much time. I came here for business, and I never knew how long I would stay.
Yeah, same here. Well, I planned to come here for a year, and now it's five years later, and I'm still here, and I'm loving it. I'm happy. So I moved to Shenzhen 4 years ago, and I've been here ever since. So it's been quite the journey. And I find learning Chinese is a lifelong process. Like learning any language, even in English, I'm still like learning new words and collecting vocabulary. So
yeah. So I think from at least the listeners I've met, they don't have much Chinese skills.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are maybe like in my position where we're just wondering, why should I even bother trying if it seems so daunting?
It does seem like a huge mountain to climb.
They always talk about like 3,000, over 3,000 characters, I think.
And yeah. It's not a lot when you actually do start to learn. Because once you learn a good handful of characters, you realize how often they're repeated in Chinese. So it's not as daunting a task as you initially expect. So you can get away with a lot less than 3,000 characters.
Yeah.
So don't be scared.
Yeah. And, you know, Nora and I'm not trying to promote the business so much. Of course, we want you to use the app, but I've been using it, and so there's the flashcard app, characters and bigrams.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe I think a lot of people don't know what the difference of the character and the bigram is. So I think that
this
might be
is
good.
One of the big mistakes that I made when I first came to China. First of all, I had downloaded a Chinese dictionary, and I didn't find out until I arrived that it really wasn't very good. It had a lot of words in it, but the words that it would spit out when I would put in the English were nowhere close to what I would actually use when I was trying to, let's say, order food or something like that. So I learned very quickly. Basically what I was trying to do was to translate one English word into one Chinese character. And that doesn't work. 99.9% of the time, that doesn't work. So most English words will be translated using at least two Chinese characters. So two Chinese characters we call a bigram, because it's two characters side by side.
Cool. And then those are usually more commonly used, right, than just a single character, or?
Not necessarily, but the beauty of a bigram is when you're learning a single Chinese character, it will have many, many different meanings, because that one character can be used in several different bigrams and phrases and even as a standalone character. So it's really difficult to give a definition to one single character. Like if you ask a Chinese person, oh, what does this character mean? Most times they're going to be kind of give you this like, you know, they're not really sure how to answer it. It's a kind of a concept, but it's not really a word. You can't really translate it into English. So with the bigrams, you usually have two character words and they translate beautifully into English. So for example, if you take the word for China, which is 中国, if you put that bigram, 中国, the definition is only China. But if you were to take 中, then it means several different things. It can mean in the middle, center, you know, it's got various meanings. So it's hard to learn individual characters at a time.
Yeah. So actually, when I was first starting to learn use the apps, I downloaded characters first,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I still have to get the bigrams.
Characters is also, he's talking about, it's called Learn Chinese Characters by WCC, and it's also really good because it gives you the characters in order from how often they're seen in Chinese text. So we use an algorithm that we've created with some research done at MIT to give you the characters that you'll see most often. But I think if you're a new learner, it's better to learn the bigrams because those are more, they're easier to grasp the meaning of it. It will say like one bigram will be mine, one bigram will be China, one bigram will be yours. So it'll be one English word translated from the bigram instead of this obscure kind of, you know, abstract definition for a single character.
Yeah. Yep. So I'll get to that. Soon, I promise.
But I think most importantly, though, is the dictionary. And I'm also not trying to, like, push our apps or anything like that, but I created the dictionary with myself in mind. I mean, I created a Chinese dictionary that basically fills in some of the holes that I think were left by other Chinese dictionaries. So I think that's kind of the foundation, is to make sure that you have, whether it's ours or another, make sure you have a good Chinese dictionary.
Cool. So maybe go through some process of your, so you came to China,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't know any Chinese?
No.
And then how did you get started learning?
It is like a daunting task when you first start out, and it's difficult to know where to start. But for me, I would always advise that people start with training their ear. Some people will tell you that you can learn Chinese without learning the tones, and that's true in a sense. If you speak really quickly a whole phrase at a time and you don't use the tones or you don't know the tones, you will find Chinese people who will understand you, but you'll never be able to communicate clearly until you really know the tones. So if you have musical hearing, like I was raised in a musical family. My mom plays the piano. She's actually a music therapist, so I have an understanding of music and tones. It's actually a lot easier. So if you don't have that, it will take you a little bit more work, but I can't emphasize enough that that's like such a critical piece of the foundation for learning Chinese.
Okay. And just so I'm not sure, there's some listeners that speak Chinese already, but for those that don't, tones, there's at least in Mandarin Chinese, There's four tones,
and then there's a neutral tone. So, for example, the first tone is a steady, flat tone, and it's a high tone. So, for example, with the pinyin ma, for the first tone, it'll be ma, and then for the second tone, it's a rising tone, so it'll sound like ma, like almost like a question, ma. And then the third one is a falling and then rising tone, ma. And then the last one is falling from high to low tone, ma. And then you have a neutral tone, which is just very light, ma. So it's ma, 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 Ma. So I heard a really interesting way to remember these tones. I think it's kind of practical and a creative way to do that. So you can think of it as if you're saying somebody's name and the intonation you might use in different situations when you're using someone's name. So for example, if we take the name John, the first tone will be John. And it's kind of like you're calling to him like, John, can you get me, hand me the remote? And the second one is like more of a question, John. So, John, where have you put my slippers? Where have you put my whatever? It's sort of a questioning one. And then the third one is John, which is kind of, you're getting a little bit upset with him. Yeah, John, what have you done?
You're scaring me. I did something wrong.
And the last one is you're really scolding. John, so John, get over here, you know. So you can think of it in terms of that way. It is similar to intonations we might use in English for calling people. So it's kind of a creative way to remember.
Is there any correlation to those to like the word meanings? Like a,
No.
There's no.
If only it were that easy,
I wish,
right?
I love systems, you know, so I always try to find a system to.
Yeah, well, the language, it does have a kind of rhythm and like, yeah, I guess a rhythm to it and a flow to it. So you do kind of, it does become more natural as you speak it, but in the beginning, you just have to memorize a tone, basically. So yes. you can't really skip that part. I'm sorry to tell you guys, but you really can't skip that part. You can get away with it for a while, but if you ever want to actually speak Chinese, you have to train your ear and practice your tones.
That's cool. I didn't know you were in a music family. That's cool.
We are, yeah.
So then, you have a good ear, so that's a good tip.
Mm-hmm. So I put a tone trainer on the website too, if people want to try. So basically, you can go to writtenchinese.com/tone trainer, or there's a pull down menu on the homepage that has a tone trainer on it. And it's a simple tool, but basically what you do is you press a play button in the center and it will play a Chinese word, and then you guess which tone it belongs to. So it'll say ba, and you have to guess. Do you know which one? Can you guess which tone that is? It is, yeah, yeah. Your Chinese is not so bad.
I'm constantly getting yelled at by Wendy.
Mike.
Exactly.
You know that tone very well.
Cool. And then I guess I'm also just curious how you got past that first stage. So your ear and the tones.
Mm-hmm.
What were some other maybe methods for people to learn from you or your experience?
Mm-hmm. Well, I always try to find ways to incorporate my learning with daily life. So I'm not that great of a book learner. I'm highly distracted when I'm sitting there with a book. And so I've gotten around that by basically just adding some Chinese into my day. So for example, in my bedroom in the beginning, I used to put post-it notes on everything. But essentially what I was trying to do is to create a learning space. So whenever I would come into the room, whether the post-it notes were there or not, you don't need to do that, but you think of your objects in Chinese. So when you open the door, you think "门," door. When you go over to your wardrobe, you also think of the word in Chinese. When you grab your clothes, you think of the word in Chinese. And so I kind of started, usually I start with the bedroom because that's the first thing that you see when you wake up in the morning. So that's kind of sets the tone for your day. So you wake up, and even if you've learned just a couple words related to the bedroom, you just think of it as you wake up, you know, blanket, pajamas, whatever else is in your room, you think of those in Chinese as you're kind of waking up. So I like to create those kind of learning spaces in my life, like specific places where I try to think in that language.
Cool. So for me, I guess this maybe a listener can hear, I'm still not so good, but I'm really good at food.
Yeah, if it's something that you love too, I think it's really good. You're already naturally interested in it. You have 3 times a day, at least for me, maybe like 5 or 6 times a day when I'm munching on something. So basically you have that opportunity to think about what you're eating in Chinese. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, especially if you tend to eat this similar foods, you know, on a weekly basis, you're always eating bread, or on a weekly basis, you're always eating rice. You can learn those words in Chinese and then you just consciously think about, and you'd be surprised. You'd really be surprised how much a little bit of effort go, like how far it goes when you're learning a language.
Yeah, it's definitely true. So I guess people are also curious, like, how much time, I guess it always depends. Another question, the answer might be it depends, but what would you like recommend somebody as far as time investment?
If you're in the US, I think, and you're trying to learn Chinese, you have to be a little bit more aggressive, I think, because you're not in the Chinese environment, so you do have to put out more effort in order to learn Chinese. So I would suggest, I'm definitely an advocate for learning small amounts more frequently than like sitting down and trying to bang out 2 hours of book learning in an evening. So I would even say just getting into the habit is the best thing. So I would literally start with 10 minutes a day. 10 minutes a day. You just get a feel for the language, just train your ear for 10 minutes a day, and then you'll slowly, don't set too high of goals, just like set habits. I think habits are more important than trying to go for, you know, because inevitably you're gonna, if you're saying, oh, I'm gonna study for 1 hour a day, and you say, I'm gonna starting Monday, I'm studying Chinese 1 hour a day. Inevitably, if you've never had that study habit before, you're probably going to fail, right? Because an hour is a long time to spend. And like for me, at least when I'm thinking, oh, it's a whole hour, I'm kind of dreading it, especially when you're first starting out, you're not exactly sure how to study, you don't have that habit. So just start with 10 minutes a day. And if you've never studied Chinese ever before, then I would definitely start out with a tone. So spend a week just getting familiar with the tones. And I guarantee you, even doing it 10 minutes a day, by the end of the week, it'll feel so familiar to you that you'll be ready to move on to the next thing. You need to give each piece its proper time. You can't really like rush through. Otherwise, you're just going to be backpedaling, basically. Mm-hmm. So start with the tones. And I also, if I could start learning Chinese all over again, if I knew the proper way to learn Chinese, I would also not be so intimidated by the characters and actually start learning some of the characters off the bat. I'm not talking about learning at the same speed the characters and the, like, you, for sure you'll be able to speak much faster than you'll be able to read and write. I mean, that's, children learn like that too. You learn how to speak and listen first, and then you learn how to write. But don't be so intimidated by the characters in the beginning that you just don't do them at all.
Yeah, like I made that mistake. I'm kind of actually backpedaling now because it's hard to show characters, of course, on an audio podcast. But I'm learning connections of words by the characters, and I think it's like really is a foundation.
So it really is. I mean, you can get away, like a lot of people have learned Chinese without learning the characters, but they're losing a lot in terms of meaning, and they're just memorizing the sounds. They're not really understanding what each word means. Mm-hmm. So they're missing out, and they're actually making it, in the long run, they're definitely making it more difficult for themselves.
It's more difficult because I'm able to kind of get by in Chinese, like I can travel by myself and eat and do some basic communication. But yeah, I've noticed it's much harder. I've been starting to study characters now for just like a month or two, and I can see the connections between words.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I can see, and it starts to build on itself. So I learned some characters and I can kind of piece together other words, or I can reverse engineer. Mm-hmm. And actually, that's how I like to learn.
Yeah.
I learned in school, like in math and things, I learned by like a foundation. So mm-hmm. I just feel like I'm not as good listening and learning. So if I see something and I can connect it, so I'm happy to see. And then I try to make pictures. Like I try to, they're not always really pictures, but some of them are, you can kind of interpret to be a somewhat of a picture.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are these things like in Chinese called radicals, and basically they're just shapes which have kind of a vague, but a meaning. And they're basically the alphabet in Chinese. Like, it's difficult, I guess, to compare it to the Latin alphabet, but it is foundations, they don't always necessarily have the same sound and they don't always have the same meaning, so I don't want to get too deep into it, but they do appear often. And once you learn those radicals, and there's a finite number of these radicals, so once you learn them, you'll be able to build all the characters that exist in the Chinese language, and you'll be able to recognize, even if you don't, you've never seen the word before, you'll be able to recognize the radicals inside of the word, and then you'll be able to guess at the meaning, you'll be able to guess at the pronunciation, so you won't be completely in the dark when you're trying to learn it. So it's a steep learning curve in the beginning. You're just like looking at all these characters like, oh my God, I can't do this. But after a while, it does become second nature. And I started learning as an adult. You know, I started learning at 23 or 24 years old. And people say, oh, you have to learn language when you're young. And I'm sure it's easier, but it can be done. I'm telling you, it can be done at any age. It can be done. So don't be afraid of, don't skip the characters and don't be afraid of the characters. And it's okay if you learn the characters slower than you learn the spoken Chinese, but just don't just forget about the characters.
Yeah, that's my mistake. I just always skipped characters completely.
Yeah, a lot of people do that. It does take a little bit of effort, but if you really want to learn the language, you have to learn how to read, and you have to learn what meanings that the characters have. Because you'd actually be surprised how many times the characters are used repeatedly. You may think it's a totally different word because it has a totally different meaning, but the character's the same, and so you begin to grasp the greater meaning, and you know how to use it better.
Yeah. So.
So I can't emphasize that enough.
Because I'm never gonna embarrass somebody. But when I was first here, people just told me don't even bother with characters. It was both Westerners and Chinese people, or maybe it's business people telling me this. So mm-hmm. I would always just avoid it too, and just blindly look at characters as I was in my daily life. But now I'm starting to learn and look.
Yeah, once you start learning, you do realize what an asset it is. And it's true, though. It's true. You can learn to speak Chinese without learning how to read and write. But I'm telling you, it actually saves you a lot of time and effort. And you just have such a deeper understanding for what you're saying when you understand the characters that are attached to those words.
Cool. All right. Well, I think this got people hopefully excited and confident a little bit.
You can do it. Trust me. It's not as hard as it looks.
Sure. So yeah, I know there's pinyin. We didn't really even talk about pinyin.
Mm-hmm.
But pinyin is also another kind of like that connects to Latin character.
Yeah, pinyin is a great tool to use when you're first, like, that's one of the first things that you'll learn. So as you're training your ear, you'll also start learning the pinyin. So also, if you're using the tone trainer, you can see the pinyin on the website. So it'll say, you can hear the audio in Chinese, and then it'll show, you'll choose which tone you think it is, and then it'll show the pinyin underneath. So you can learn. It's great because in English we have all these different sounds and diphthongs and words borrowed from other languages. We have so many different sounds in English, but Chinese only has a finite number of sounds. So it actually doesn't take so much effort to learn all of the pinyin combinations and the letter combinations. So you can learn to pronounce Chinese very, very quickly. Some people are kind of scared to pronounce Chinese, but actually once you learn how to pronounce each of the syllables, it's very, very easy, and you'll never have to learn any more. Any words that they borrow from other languages, they turn them into Chinese-ified words.
And the cool thing also, no grammar really, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's word order. I would kind of say that's grammar, but there's no conjugation. Like if you've ever studied French or Spanish or, you know, pretty much any other language, there's no conjugation. So past tense, present tense, future tense, it's all the same. So there's absolutely no conjugating. The articles are really easy to learn. It's very simple and straightforward. So if you ever hear a Chinese person, like especially the older generation in the U.S., and when they're speaking English really, really simply, and it kind of sounds sometimes like a little bit funny to us, but that's because they're directly speaking Chinese, because Chinese is very simple in terms of grammar.
I want noodle.
Yeah, exactly. There's very little plural even, and there's no ing endings, and it's that's definitely a saving grace of Chinese is the grammar. So simple.
Cool. So then also keep us posted for those studying. Let us know some tips and progress. Also be cool for you, let me know or Nora, kind of wrapping up. I mean, hopefully people get some good motivation here to get started. And so it's writtenchinese.com. Is that where they should go?
Yeah, or? They can go to writtenchinese.com, and it has a Get Started tab and kind of gives you a brief introduction to where you should start with learning Chinese. And all the resources on there are free, or they have trial versions, so you have plenty of access to information right there. And then we do weekly videos now, so you can see me on the videos with my colleague Alan. So we're doing Chinese learning videos.
Scavenger Sunday.
Yeah, it's called Scavenger Sunday, and we're doing a bit more and more with the visual materials. So
yeah, it helps you get looking for recognizing characters now more, because you hunt out for those and try to find them in daily life if you're in China, I guess. But that's great. And then also a podcast starting, so if you guys want to listen to Nora on podcast,
we just started a podcast here. It's our first podcast, so we're really excited about it. We're calling it Two White Chicks in China, which I know is kind of a provocative title, but it is what it is. It's myself and my friend Holly, who also works at writtenchinese.com. And we're basically answering all your questions about what it's actually like to live in China. So you can also send us questions there. So it's writtenchinese.com/podcast. Yeah.
Yeah. So this show might come on in a couple of weeks. So we'll probably have a few more for people to listen to, and it'll be fun. So yeah, it's gonna be like question and answer style. Mm-hmm. We're still testing out the style, and I would love for people to tune in there and let Nora
send me your questions. Yes. I want to answer your questions. Yeah. I'm happy to talk about China.
Cool.
Learning Chinese, everything, working here, everything.
Yeah. So I'm sure people have lots of questions. And so thanks so much for coming on the show, Nora.
Oh, thank you.
And, you know, I also like to have people, if they want to reach out or contact you, is there ways to recommend them to shoot you a note?
Sure. They can find me at facebook.com/NoraJoyWilson or linkedin.com/NoraJoyWilson. That's okay. My phone name. Or okay. You can also reach me via email at Nora@writtenchinese.com.
Awesome. And we'll put that in the show notes too for anybody that wants to check it out. So thanks again, guys.
Please do.
All right. That's a wrap.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye. Thank you, Nora, for coming on the show. So for many, many years, I've always kind of skipped learning characters, thinking that it was just totally impossible and not needed. But, you know, since my time here with the Unchained Apps and this Written Chinese app, I'm using the app and I'm testing it and learning about it and talking to users. So I do believe that characters is actually a foundation for speaking Chinese. I know I've talked to a lot of my friends in China that don't speak Chinese, and they just say that characters is not even worth it. But I am already learning, and also as I learn characters, my wife Wendy thinks it's a waste, but she's been communicating to me more. And when I talk about a character, it helps me with the spoken Chinese. So I'm at home, even it's helped me. For example, the word how, which is a kind of obvious one people might know, means how. How means good, I mean, but it's actually the character, if you look at it, has the word woman on the left part of the character and child on the right. So, you know, it kind of sounds pretty amazing, right? Women and children is good. So that actually helps me remember the character and also the word, and it kind of just strengthens everything. So, you know, I think also, even though you might not ever come to China to do business or for travel, learning Chinese is actually helpful when you're in your home country. I think we all know that the Chinese are traveling around the world, and while they might need to speak English or the language of your country, if you try to even attempt speaking Chinese to them, they're usually amazed and really excited that you've taken the time to understand their language and their culture. And in business especially, that shows a lot of respect for them. And if you're maybe trying to get their business, then you could actually win over their business just because of those simple efforts that you take. So also, you know, I hope this podcast doesn't seem like a big promotion for Written Chinese. Of course, I would love for you guys to download the app, and it's a free app. Of course, there's in-app purchases and upgrades, which you don't need to do, but, you know, as a marketing and BD person here for all the app, I'd love your feedback and ideas, and that's about it for this year. And 2014 is coming to a close, last podcast. So excited for next year in 2015, and I hope everybody else is too. So keep positive and keep on learning. Cheers.
To get more info about running an international business via Hong Kong, please visit our website at www.globalfromasia.com. That's www.globalfromasia.com. Also, be sure to subscribe to our iTunes feed. Thanks for tuning in.